I think the Astros and the Astros fans thought that they're just going to roll over the Royals. I mean, they are the Royals, the last in the AL Central, but the Royals are a little pesky, just kind of like they were in 2015 when they took care of business. But fortunately for the Astros, they did win 3 out of 4 games. It was a fight the whole time. The Royals just kept on getting hit after hit, but fortunately, the Astros have a good enough team to get the job done, and we're going to talk about what Justin Verlander did, and the Astros did something good as an organization, reaching out to the folks out in Uvalde, Texas. So we'll talk about that and more on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. And Brett is still on vacation. He actually wanted to do the show today. I'm like, Brett, enjoy your vacation. Just, we got this. I got my old pal, Albie Shore, and I'm like, he's going to do an awesome job. So, Albie, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, make sure to follow me at Mr_Albie Shore. I've seen Brett's pictures. He's loving it out there. Went to a Hooks game the other day, right? Like, he's just maxing and relaxing down in Corpus Christi, you know? So hang back. We got this one, man.
Yeah, so this game looked like it was going to be same old early in the game. And it looked like the Astros were going to get kind of give up 5 runs early. The defense wasn't quite as good. But fortunately, it looked like Justin Verlander was Justin Verlander. No matter what happens, he took care of business. And hey, Astros fans, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards imagined. Stay tuned later in the show for more information on this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check this out on the Sports Card Investor app. And guys, thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day, whether it's on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, what are you waiting for? We had Jeff Blum on yesterday. He was an awesome interview. I know the audio was a little off, but it was still an awesome interview. He had a lot of great insight onto what the Astros should do at the trade deadline and what he expects. And the person he compared Yordan Alvarez to was pretty awesome. Everybody compares him to David Ortiz, but he compared him to Barry Bonds. And so that's a pretty good comparison there. So, and make sure you listen to us on your way home from work and make us your first listen on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify. And you're talking about your podcast. What's your podcast, Albie?
Yeah, so Tortillas and Takes Podcast. We are a Texas Tech-centric podcast. Also the main podcast for RedRaidersports.com. Right now, especially with realignment, all things Big 12 and just all the craziness going on there. We also talk quite extensively about college baseball. So make sure to check us out, Tortillas and Takes. Also follow us at Tortillas and Takes. So Blummer, man, that comparison, Yordan Alvarez to Barry Bonds. I feel like that's just even putting him in the same aura of Barry Bonds is like quite the comparison. Like that's already saying you're like godlike in the way that you're hitting the ball, not just power but contact as well.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree at one aspect of his game. I don't think Alvarez will ever have the speed of Barry Bonds.
So maybe at least talking San Fran Barry with the juiced up head, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a little bit different. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
So the Astros had a little scare today. Jeremy Pena was originally in the lineup, and he was scratched for some reason. And of course, Chandler Rome, as optimistic as he is, the Astros has scratched Jeremy Pena from the lineup. I guess we don't know why. We won't ever find out why. But he was scratched later due to health and safety protocols. We do not know what that means. He either has the cold or something else. But after the game, Dusty Baker did say that he will travel to San Francisco with the team. So that does mean that it's nothing major. Maybe it's just something that he just couldn't play today. So that's a good thing. If it was something else, then he would probably be sitting staying in Houston. So that's the good news. And before the game, also, they Dusty Baker had no meaningful update on Michael Brantley or Yuli Gurriel. But the good news there is that Gurriel did come into the game later in the game. So that means there's nothing major there. But it was weird that it was back-to-back games that he did not start. So it just kind of makes you wish that the Astros would be a little bit more transparent and what's going on with these guys. I mean, all it takes is just saying, oh, I mean, I know they said that he's dealing with some maybe leg soreness and everything, but just kind of tell us a little bit more specific. But it's good to see Gurriel back there. Now let's hope for the best with Jeremy Pena, because Pena has been the best Carlos Correa replacement you could ask for. Am I right?
Oh no, absolutely. Like I, you know, and we've talked about it before. I was number one in the Carlos Correa fan base from the second he was drafted. Love the guy. It was sad to see him leave. And then I'm like, oh man, nobody can replace him. And you know how long it took me to not forget about Correa, but like move on? One week. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, Correa can have fun in Minnesota. This Jeremy Pena, he got it. Even for like the first month of the season, there was talks of, you know, putting him in the MVP race. That's how great he started his career this year. Now, obviously, he cooled off from that hot start, but he's still in the Rookie of the Year conversation, still playing absolutely fantastic. I think still in the top 10 and wins above replacement. Like, he's both offensively and defensively has been absolutely fantastic. And I think that jolt that we weren't expecting is one of the reasons why the Astros currently are one of the best teams in all of baseball.
I know that Julio Rodriguez has kind of passed him in terms of the Rookie of the Year race, but it's still a long season. We just passed the 81 game mark yesterday. And so we'll see. We'll see how it ends. But in my eyes, Rookie of the Year should come from the better team, and the Mariners are still 13 games behind the Astros, or 13 and a half games. I don't even know anymore how far back they are, but the Astros are, but we'll see how the stats compare. But defensively, he's great. He's made a name for himself other than just being the replacement for Carlos Correa. And honestly, people don't even compare him anymore. It's just awesome. He's just doing his own thing. And that's what he said he was going to do at the beginning of the season. He said, I'm not here to replace Carlos Correa. I'm here to be Jeremy Pena. And that's just great. So, but you had that. The good thing that is that they trade for Dubon, and he plays a great shortstop as well. And I still don't get why Dusty Baker let him off the other day, but whatever. We're not talking about that game. We're talking about Jose Altuve leading off today. He had that home run, especially after Martin Maldonado had a three-hit game. I know he's probably going to go hitless more often than not, but when he does get hits, it's likely three for three with a home run like he did today. He also had the double. So it just he didn't have a home run today, but he had a double. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Machete, every time like somebody whispers, hey, we should look for a catcher in the trade deadline, he comes out with like a huge game, right? Like he had the two home run game the other day. Like the second, I think there was an article that came out about the Astros potentially going after a catcher at the trade deadline. Boom, two home runs. Then they also talked. ESPN was running a show last night as far as what the top teams need to do at the trade deadline. Catcher and first base was talked about. Boom, Machete, three for three. And I do disagree with ESPN on that. I don't see a scenario. And then two, I don't really think it's a good idea to go after a catcher right now. I think Machete, yeah, you're going to have his problems at the bat, and he's batting 160 right now, and I don't expect that to really change. But you're not – that's not what you have him there for, right? That's what you drafted Corey Lee for, hoping that Corey Lee eventually will become that guy to replace right. Machete down the line. You drafted Machete – you have Machete to be able to handle all the other pitchers, to be able to handle the pitchers, be the defensive – arguably the best defensive catcher in all of baseball. He can bat 160 when he's doing crazy plays like faking out the runner at first base and you know, doing all types of settling down some of your younger pitchers and stuff like that. Like, that is his role on this team. And then maybe next year or the year after is when you say, okay, Corey Lee, it's your time to be the starting catcher.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely Yordan Alvarez's cards are probably skyrocketing right now. He's one of the best players in baseball. I know a lot of people say, well, what about Aaron Judge? Yeah, Aaron Judge is there too, but it's Alvarez and Judge right now for MVPs in AL West.
You're forgetting one person. and that's Shohei Ohtani. And I can, hey, like, listen, Ohtani is
Where's the mute button?
He's one of the better pitchers, one of the better hitters, and already I feel like he's always going to be in the conversation just to the fact he can do both. But he's doing both very well, so like I can't hate on the guy. Like the team's going to suck. They're going to be the same as Mike Trout, to where they're, you know, oh, Ohtani with a home run and 10 strikeouts. Oh, Mike Trout going 3-for-3 in a home run as the Angels are down 15-5. You know, like that's what it's going to be. But it is what it is.
Well, either way, I don't know if you're old enough for this, but remember the old days when you have to collect baseball cards and you have to buy one of those magazines and go look for the year and everything. It was so hectic back in the 90s when I was collecting baseball cards. But now the Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. It's quickly check the value of your favorite sports car, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Store, the Sports Card Investor app is must have for all sports baseball fans. It's completely free. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. Check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day and even 30-day charts. Find the best prices and buy directly through the app or with our eBay deal features. And so if you want to go out there and get Albie's favorite player, Shohei Ohtani cards, I'm sure you can go to Sports Card Investor app. And if you want to go get our guy, Alvarez's cards, then you can go there too. Or if you want to go back in old days and get some Jeff Bagwell cards, it's just great to go back in time and see how much your favorite old time cards are worth today. I have a whole closet full that I would love to see how much they're worth and maybe eventually get rid of and make some money off those cards. So if you're interested in getting into sports cards, find great deals about your favorite players and just see, like Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani. It's just the names go on and on. Just download the Sports Card Investor app today. It's available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Store, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/Locked On and just see what your card's worth. So, Albie, how much would your baseball card be worth?
Mine?
Yeah.
not a lot. Not one a penny. Lot about if there's a way to go even less than a penny, that's there you go.
I think
it'd be Bitcoin back in 2009 is what my value would be.
I think I would be at least 25 cents because I'm a co-host of a podcast, a pretty popular podcast, maybe. So I would say 25 cents, maybe. Just kidding. Anyway, so I'm sure Alvarez's cards are pretty high in demand right now. So it's pretty good. And I know I want to hear your input right now. He hit his 26th home run today. Yes, it was a Crawford Box special, where if he can do that more often, just imagine how many more home runs he can hit. But what are your thoughts about him participating in the home run derby?
I don't really like it. I love the home run derby. It's probably one of my favorite parts. It is my favorite part of All-Star Weekend. I love watching it. There's way too many stories of players going to the home run derby and completely falling off afterwards. And no, I don't think that's going to be Yordan. Don't get me wrong. But why test it, right? Like nowadays, I think it's much better to just have certain players that are just great at the home run derby. You kind of have some of the guys that now are really doing the home run derby is kind of like Pete Alonso, right? Pete Alonso is fantastic at the home run derby. He can do the home run derby, and that's kind of all his – kind of been his thing. I think he's better at the home run derby than he is kind of playing. That's just my opinion. But I'd rather you're already on a hot streak. There's no need to mess it up. Right. Just rest, chill out, do your one inning in the All-Star game, and take it easy. There's no need to strain yourself and go all out for the home run derby. And then you're kind of, I've heard stories about players being tired. You know, you have the Ryan Howard kind of had a, he kind of looks back at the home run derby not as fondly as he did while he was doing it, you know, and kind of attributes that to maybe some of the issues that he may have had later on in his career. Like, I just don't want that to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I can't see into the future. And why risk it?
Right. So Altuve hit his 17th home run in a year. So that means he's going to end up, if this is halfway mark, maybe with about 30, 35 home runs in each season. Alvarez is on pace to hit about 55 or something, if we're going to keep on going at his rate. So the Astros are going to have something they haven't had in a long time. Somebody hit above 50 home runs, potentially, if Alvarez keeps this up. So, yes, I think he wants to play for the long term, and the Astros want him to play for the long term. At the same time, I know it would be awesome to see him hit in a home run derby because his swing is so simple. And that's what Blum was saying on podcast. He has such a simple swing. So it's not like Alex Bregman, who has to put his whole body into it and to generate the power. So I think that somebody like Alvarez would be a natural fit, but I still think that he's trying to decide if he wants to do it. So let's get back to today's game. Verlander, he had some bad defense played behind him in the first inning. There's an error by Dubon. And then I believe that, I don't know if that led to the run. And then Myers in the second inning, the ball got by his glove. And then Chaz McCormick didn't really see it right away. Then he had to go back and get to it. So the runner got all the way to third base, and that run eventually scored. So Verlander only gave up one earned run on day, two runs on day, seven hits, eight strikeouts, and he got to the 100 pitch mark. 100 pitch mark exactly. So, good game from Verlander overall, especially after the last three games. The starting pitchers gave up five runs. This is a much better start, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think in this game, Verlander did a great job of getting outs when he needed to. Right. So he did give up hits, but at any time there was a situation where he just needed to get out of the inning, he was able to get out of the inning. I think he did a fantastic job there. Like you kind of mentioned, he didn't get too much help early on, but he was able to limit some of the damage that could have potentially been done. Verlander right now, I mean, he's some of the best pitching I think I've ever seen him do, simply because of what he's coming back from, right? 2 years without really pitching. And so he's absolutely doing a fantastic job, and he continued it here in this game as well. So I do think that one thing that I really like from Verlander is you're starting to see a trend, or from not just Verlander, from the Astros in general, you're starting to see a trend over baseball where starting pitches aren't lasting as long. Right. And I think in this game, 100 pitches for Justin Verlander, I like this old school approach that Dusty Baker has of saying, you know what, I'm going to still play close to vest. I'm using all the tools that I have at my disposal when it comes to the analytics, some of the new school stuff. But I'm still going to, you know, do some of this old school way of thinking of, if my starting pitcher is out there and he's pitching well, why pull him? And you saw he didn't pull him until 100 pitches in. Now, he doesn't overdo it. Right, he doesn't overdo it and have him eight innings in there, 150 pitches going, but does a good job of keeping him out there. And then from that, you can then manage a little bit. And you can have Maton go in, and even we saw Montero get some burn as well before bringing in Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, also pushing him back 3 days just to kind of save some innings on his arm. And I think after the game, let me see if I can find it. Verlander actually said, "I love having the time off." He used to want to push the gas, and now he sees the value in not having to go every 5 days. The process isn't done, and constantly evaluating what the doctors evaluating with the doctors, it seems to be working out nicely. So basically, he actually in the past he'll be like, "No, I want to go every fifth day. I want to be on a routine." And he said, "Actually, I liked it. I like having the extra time. I felt a little bit more fresh." And so we'll see how he likes to do it in the long term. But I think that we need him in October. And that's what the Astros are looking at. And speaking of which, Verlander is the first pitcher to get to 11 wins this season. So how about that? He's already track for 200 innings this year. I believe he's around 100 innings, if not already 200 innings. So this guy is doing what most people coming back from Tommy John surgery normally do.
I do think that JV is also, he's pitching very smart. So, like, I don't think this is necessarily a year where JV is just, like you said, where he's just throwing as hard as he can, trying to get as many strikeouts as he can, trying to have so many 1, 2, 3 innings as possible. I mean, he gave up seven hits today. So it's not like it's necessarily just top tier stuff. But he's, like I said earlier, he's getting out of innings. He's being very smart with his ball placement and figuring out when to, and he's really outsmarting batters more than anything. And so I think this is where you're seeing a situation where, okay, now I'm 39, now I'm the wily vet, now I'm older than everybody, and I've been in the league longer, and I know how I can make these things shake that these young guys just don't know about yet.
Yeah. So the Astros are now 54-28, and now they're going to go off to the West Coast, which means late games. Yay. As a guy who does a podcast after every game, that's music to our ears. Not. So, I mean, I don't mind doing it every once in a while, but it gets a little old after a while, especially after staying up late. You get kind of hungry and you're like, what should I eat? And you're like, oh, wait. I like a Built Bar. And so Built Bar is kind of good for a snack. And if you're going to the gym or if you're just watching a late night game, you don't want to eat chocolate covered grasshoppers like Julia Morales did that one time. Actually, we're talking about chocolate coconut brownie chunk puffs today. From the people who invented the healthy and tasty Built Bar comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given coconut brownie chunk the puffs treatment. That's right. The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a delicious chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They are good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides ton of health benefits. Eat something that tastes great and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs, of course, is that they taste amazing, but you can also eat them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat for when you're watching a late-night game, perfect when you got that craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or you need a quick and healthy snack. The delicious coconut-rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing and get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to belt.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15. I think that looking at where the Astros are compared to the Yankees, I think that they are on track. I need to actually look at that for next show on Sunday. Looking after the Astros went 11-11. How has their record compared to the Yankees during that same time? And I bet you that they've probably had a better record throughout that time. So definitely looking at this, at the Astros, they're going to be facing the A's, and then they're going to be facing I forgot who's coming up next, but the A's are definitely a team that's down right now, but the A's and Astros have a long history of playing each other. So this is not, as we've seen with the Royals, you can't just look past them. You can't just look at who they're going to play next and just think that you're going to just roll over them. So before we get to that, Dusty Baker got his 2,041st win of the season, meaning he's the number 9 all-time wins in Major League history. So the further he moves up that list, do you think he's going to eventually become a Hall of Famer, or does he have to win that World Series in your eyes?
I think Dusty's a Hall of Famer just because of everything he's also given to the game of baseball. Like, so he's already going up the list of career wins. He's made the World Series now. He's already done almost everything you can do except win a World Series. And I don't think that should be the only criteria for him to get in because of everything else that he's done for the sport of baseball and for MLB in general, both in his playing days and his managerial days. So I do think he's going to get in regardless. However, if he wants to write his name in the Hall of Fame books in pen instead of pencil, he needs that World Series victory. Like, right? Like, I think the World Series victory puts him over the top. There's no question. First ballot, call it a day. And that's, I think, what he's missing. I think he'll get in regardless, but it's a no-brainer the second he gets it.
Right. So it is the Athletics on the road, then the Angels on the road, then they come back home and play the A's at Minute Maid Park, and then it's going to be the Home Run Derby on the 18th, and then the All-Star Game on the 19th. And so basically that's going to be Yeah.
Don't you love this division?
don't you
love this division so much? Here the Yankees have to go and play the Blue Jays and the Red Sox and the Rays, and we get to play the Angels and the Athletics.
And it gets better. On the 21st, the Astros play the Yankees on a doubleheader. Then they play the Mariners, then the A's, then the Mariners. So
it's great. I love this. Because here's the thing is also in the race for – I honestly don't care about getting the first seed. I really don't. To me, it's – and it sounds like for the Astros management as well, it's all about the double bye. It's all about getting the top two seed. That's all that really matters. Right. And I think right now the only team that really stands in our way of that are the Twins. But – I want New York. I want two things to happen for New York. I want them to, one, chase the record, and I want them to also have some the Red Sox. And the Red Sox and Blue Jays have kind of been streaky in both ways this year. But I want them to also give them pressure. So I want the Yankees to feel the need to continue to win games and go all out in the regular season, similar to what we saw with the Mariners back in 01, where they really pushed for 117. They really wanted 117. They got 117, and they flamed out in the first round of the playoffs. And I'm of the belief that the Astros and Yankees are due for a collision course. And so if we're in a situation to where the Yankees are really pushing for trying to break the record and go for 117, saw a couple pundits saying that they think it's going to happen, and that's great. Keep thinking it's going to happen. I hope they get it. I hope they get 118 just for them to strain themselves and not cross the finish line at the end in October.
I don't know if you've heard this, but I've got some bad news. Next year, it's not going to be so easy for the Astros. They're going to play four games less in the division. That way they can like versus each opponent. So they're going to play only, I believe it's only going to be 15 games against the A's, 15 games against the Mariners, something like that. And they're going to play every team in the National League next year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
when So they're going to be less AL West teams. So, yeah. But I think the Astros, you want to play the better teams. And not playing the Dodgers this year could be a blessing, but at the same time, you want that drama. You want to face them. You want to be able to have Jose Altuve hit that home run over there. And so,
yeah, I mean, iron sharpens iron. So it does make you better. And we have seen it. Playing those better teams has made us better. I think recent competition against the A's have made the Astros better in some years. The A's aren't that team anymore right now, at least this year. But having that, the A's, I think, are the only team in the past, you know, since 2017 that have really given the Astros real interdivisional problems. And I think that has helped the team in those years. But it's also nice to just like, oh, okay, we can just sit back and, oh, we just got to, oh, it's the Angels? Oh, okay, we're fine.
But this is not the same A's anymore. This is a different team. So somebody asked us earlier, I'm not going to scroll all the way up there to see what the question was, but I believe they asked us to talk about Jake Meyer's hot start this season. Yes, he's still batting 302 with a 776 OPS. Yeah, he's looks like he's doing pretty good. He made another diving catch today. He now that he's healthy, he reminds me not necessarily his offense, but his defense reminds me of what you saw with George Springer, his ability to throw his body and do Superman catches and everything like that. So I think that Jake Meyers is going to be given the keys to center field until they decide, okay, I think we need to go get somebody else for center field. But
dude, he is bad as right now for the past week, batting 368 with over 1,000 OPS. Right. He is absolutely on it. I agree with you. I think it's at this point we've been looking for a real center fielder all year long. And it's kind of his until it's not. Like, I think that's really how you take it going forward. I mean, you think about it, at the beginning of the year, we were thinking, oh, eventually we'll have to get a center fielder. Like, we thought maybe the trade deadline, like, eventually we'll have to really get that figured out. And I think we already have it figured out.
The only way you replace him, I believe, is if you do what Blummer said, you go out and get a Justin Verlander-like deal. He didn't necessarily mean a starting pitcher. He means a impact player. And so if you go out and trade for a big-time center fielder, then Jake Meyers becomes your fourth outfielder, something like that. So, but right now, you need all hands on deck because, of course, Michael Brantley's on IL. We don't know when he's coming back, but it's good to have Aledmys Diaz, who can play the outfield, and Dubon can play shortstop. He can play the outfield. So It was kind of weird seeing DeBond playing shortstop and Diaz out there in left field. But at the same time, I believe that they believe that DeBond's a better shortstop versus Diaz. So,
yeah.
So looking at tomorrow's game, it's going to be definitely a interesting matchup. It's going to be a late game. We love, love, love late games over at the Locked On Astros podcast because we have to stay up late for those games. But at least unless it's a big matchup, we're probably not going to stay up for that. It's going to be definitely Jose Urquidy. They don't have it announced on MLB.com, but I thought I had it in my notes somewhere. Who's going to be on there for the A's, but maybe I didn't put it on there, but definitely it's going to be Urquidy, the way he's been pitching, definitely the last game. It was a great game, and Urquidy has faced the A's a lot. Tony Kemp has a home run against him. Ramon Laureano has a home run against him, and I think that Urquidy just needs to do what he did last time because he dominated, and he was part of that good stretch of starting pitching that was kind of spoiled. And I'm not going to blame Jake Odorizzi for putting a bad taste in the rotation. That's superstition. I just think the Royals came in and they said, I don't know if Brett told me this or somebody told me this. This was the Royals World Series. Hey, this is one of the best teams in baseball. Let's play like this is a World Series again. So they just did that. So, but Urquidy's going to be playing. I don't know who it was. Maybe I didn't put the name down, but
it's Paul Blackburn. So
yeah, Blackburn. Yeah.
Yeah. Blackburn's going to be pitching for against the Astros. He does not like pitching against the Astros. He rarely does well against the Astros so far. So far this year, actually last time he did pitch against the Astros, wasn't too bad. Only gave up 4 earned runs and 5 hits, which for Blackburn against the Astros isn't too shabby. A lifetime, he's only won 1 game against the Astros, and that lifetime includes a situation where he gave up 8 hits and 8 runs in 1 1/3 inning. So he's definitely going to be somebody that's going to have a little anxiety when he goes to sleep tonight thinking about he's about to play tomorrow.
You think he's going to close his eyes and picture the Astros lineup and picture them kind of like tearing up into different pieces and imagine it going away like a psychiatrist would do or something.
He's probably just like, he probably saw like all types of Yordan memes and everything like that, you know, and it's just thinking about like, man, I gotta go up against those guys. Like those are the guys I gotta, hey coach, I'm feeling them. Health and safety protocols tomorrow, coach. I'm just not feeling up to snuff tomorrow.
Yeah. So I know that your Urquidy is a lot better at home than he is on the road. But still, you're going to have to learn how to pitch on the road if you're going to pitch in the playoffs. So because the Astros, especially once McCullers comes back and Jake Odorizzi decides what type of pitcher he's going to be, is he'd be the first 3 games of the season or the other however many games it was type of pitcher. So Urquidy's got to decide what type of pitcher he is. So just kind of to close out the show, Hunter Brown and Yainer Diaz will represent the Astros at the future game on July 16th. And also Dusty Baker's son, Darren Baker, will represent the Nationals. One of the people who represent the Nationals. So I know Dusty Baker was pretty proud of his son. He said, I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty good in his first full season. I'm pulling for my boy. I'm proud to call him my son. So that was pretty cool. And also the Astros sent a contingent, including Orbit, out to Uvalde, Texas on Friday. They had a couple little events out there. And Alex Bregman said it was awesome, just super proud of the Astros organization and thankful to be part of it. And Dusty Baker said, baseball has healed me in the past. It's healed so many people. Hopefully we can bring some enjoyment in their lives. You can say, I know how you feel, but you don't. It's a great gesture that the Astros did going to Uvalde. So the Astros just did a great little thing there. They took care of business against the Royals. It's just awesome. And they just need to keep the good times rolling. It's okay to get a loss here or there. What really sucks is when you go through that losing streak. That's what really sucks. And like the Yankees lost 2 games in a row, that's when you can start complaining about it. That's how That's how spoiled we are as Astros fans, because we got a good team. Even when we have people injured and going into health and safety protocols like Jeremy Pena do, you still have people that can step up like that. So any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just for that Futures game, Hunter Brown is definitely somebody you want to take a look at. I think he's somebody that we're going to be seeing pitching in an Astros jersey before the year is over. maybe not in a starting capacity, but definitely somebody that we could see as like a long reliever in September and October. So definitely keep a lookout for him. Again, you can follow me at Mr. _ I'll be sure right there at the bottom of the ticker. You know, right there. Also, you know, if you want to listen to any other Big 12 baseball, Texas Tech baseball, any of that, go follow us at Tortillas and Takes, and anywhere you get your podcast, Tortillas and Takes.
You're making me hungry. I haven't had dinner yet. So, all right. So thank you, Albie, once again. And guys, next time you see us, Brett, maybe be back with me, and thank you for sticking around with me on this, Brettless week of the Locked On Astros podcast, and hopefully they take care of business against the A's. And this ain't your 2019, 2020, whatever. This isn't the same A's. This is a team that has basically sold all their good players, and now they're just kind of trying to figure out what to do. So, all right, that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. We'll talk to you on Sunday, and go Astros.